I invite you to join with me in prayer as we hear God's word together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are the moments where we just need to see our Savior. And so let the message of Jesus today be very clear and very bold. Let it also be faithful to your word. And so may the words of my mouth as your ambassador and the meditation of our hearts as your servants, may they be acceptable in your sight, for you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever had an experience so good that you had to tell other people about it? I remember what it was like moving to the area of Chicago, and I don't know what you recommend when people come and visit or if they're out of town, but one of the first things that was told me was you have to go on a Chicago architectural boat tour. I'm just curious, how many of you have ever taken the architectural boat tour? Now, it took us about 12 years to actually do it, but sure enough, this is recommendable. Like, you learn the history of Chicago, you learn why it's called Second City, you learn all the rationale, even where, like, the fire started at the O'Leary Farm. It's something you should do if you're in the Chicago area. I remember hearing about favorite pizza places. Some of you might know there is a new pope from the South Side, and you might even know his favorite is Aurelio's. Yeah. And then if you're talking with people who love Aurelio's, they're like, and you can't just have it in Frankfurt. You need to go where? You need to go to Homewood, you need to get it from the original oven, ask for the original oven, and that's how you do pizza in the area. Now, I love Beggars as well. Some of you love Vito and Nick, some of you love Nancy's. I mean, that's just what you do. You recommend what you love. It's what I see in our young people. In Axis class, we played Family Feud, and one of the team names was Chicken Jockey. Now, does anyone know what Chicken Jockey is from? Minecraft, absolutely. And if you're old like me, you might have been dragged along to see Minecraft and learn the wonders of Chicken Jockey. Yeah. Well, I'm always hoping that this would be a place where people walk away from and say, you know what, that was good. And I want to tell people about it. That your experience in church should be so phenomenal. You're like, oh man, the worship, the message, the kids' environments, you gotta check this place out. In fact, I love to see that in our confirmation group today, we have two siblings, and they're already two older from the family that have already been confirmed here at Amazing Love. So I love to see like the progression of the family. And maybe there are some older siblings in this group that is going to tell younger siblings, you should do it. It's really good. And why? Why do I feel this about church? Well, it's less to do about church, and it definitely isn't about me. It has everything to do with what church is all about. And that these are the moments where we get to see Jesus. And I don't know your experience with Jesus. Maybe you're just coming in for a confirmation Sunday because you were invited. Maybe you don't consider yourself a Christian, but here's what I believe about Jesus. If you see him for who he is, you'll realize that nothing on earth compares. That he is the truest treasure on planet earth. And there is nothing quite like walking with him. There is nothing knowing that he is with you. There is nothing knowing salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And so because of this phenomenal God, something I want to talk about with you today, it's our first fill-in, I believe this, that God is so good, he's so good, we want to tell others about it. Have you ever felt that way? This reminds me of a woman who met Jesus. It was a woman at the well. And the story is pretty phenomenal because Jews don't usually go into Samaria. They usually pass by on the other side. And Jesus not only goes to Samaria, but starts up a conversation with a Samaritan woman at the well. Now, this is like a Cubs fan talking to a Sox fan. And it shouldn't happen, right? This is none shall pass. And the woman recognized this, and she's like, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why are we even talking? Why are we doing this thing? But Jesus had a purpose. Jesus was there to speak into her life and offer hope. Now, in order to offer hope, first he had to address a problem. He addressed a problem when it comes to God's idea of marriage and the fact that she was not in God's idea. But then he also offered her living water. He also said, I am the Messiah, the Savior. He also offered life and peace because of who he was. And because of this offer and the hope she had, this was the response of the woman at the well. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. So changed by what Jesus had done, she had to tell her community. She had to let everyone know, this is God. Now that's still happening. I was pleased to hear about a story involving Nikki Cruz, who was a gang member in the 1950s and 60s. So Nikki Cruz was one of the leaders of a gang in Brooklyn, and he grew up without Jesus. He grew up in a family where they didn't take him to confirmation services. No, his family members were spiritists, and they actually referred to him as the son of Satan. And so an evangelist came by one day and shared new news, telling Nikki Cruz that Jesus loved him. His response to this? He slapped the preacher and threatened his life. It didn't stop the evangelist. The evangelist came again and saying, "Jesus loves you," and same result, he was threatened once more. Until there was an evangelistic meeting in the neighborhood. And by hearing the gospel, the Holy Spirit had his way with Nikki Cruz. It's then that he gave his life to Jesus Christ and started following him. It's then that he started doing incredible things. In fact, he led his gang members to go to the police station and hand in their guns and their knives, shocking the police. He became a preacher. And he reached out to the gang that he used to lead and now tried to convert the new leader of that gang. Because what Nikki Cruz knows is what we know, that if you find something good, if you find something that changes your life, if you find peace and hope like nothing else, then you need to tell others about it. It's not an if, it's not a should I, it's an obligation. We have the words of life that changes hearts and eternities forever, so we need to speak about it. And that's what our confirmands are going to do. They've prepared a beautiful confession of faith because they've learned about who God is, and now they have to share that with the world. But it's not just the confirmands who should share, and it's not just the pastor or Nikki Cruz. It is all of us who have the knowledge of Jesus Christ that should go out into our community and let them know that light breaks darkness. And that's what we're going to hear from God's Word. So let me explain just a little bit of the context of God's Word as we dive into it. We are in the book of Romans, and if you ever want to know how salvation works, that salvation is all up to Jesus and not up to us, you should read the book of Romans. In chapter 3, you'll hear something pretty phenomenal and clear. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Everyone you meet is a sinner. No one is perfect. And then it goes on to say, "But are justified freely by his grace." So the way of salvation is all about Jesus Christ and his works. So Paul in this letter establishes this foundation of Christian doctrine, but then he gives implications for how life should be lived. In the later parts of the book, he's talking about, and this is what the life of a Christian looks like. He talked in chapter 7 about wrestling with sin, which you still do as a Christian. And he also talked about our obligation to tell the world about Jesus. And these are the words we're going to consider from Romans chapter 10. Now, something we do in honor of God's word is we just stand for it. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we read God's word together. So it says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. These are the words we get to dwell in today. Can you finish this phrase, this little light of mine?
I'm gonna let it shine.
Absolutely. Feel free to be seated. And really the main emphasis of this message is the next verse that says, hide it under a bushel.
No.
Absolutely. Right? And do you remember growing up in Sunday school and like if you're a teacher, you train the kids like this is where you shout, no! Right? Some of you can see it, right? That is the passion I hope you walk away with this morning as we dwell in God's Word. So, what is it to stand up for the faith? Can you stand up even though it's awkward or even if you have to lose something, maybe a relationship because you spoke the faith, maybe trust in someone because you ventured into a hot topic? Well, I'm always reminded of the Columbine shooting. Obviously, it sticks in memory for one of the mass shootings of our country in 1999, but also the story of Cassie Burnell. And maybe you've heard this story that she was asked by one of the gunmen, do you believe in God? And the story goes that she said yes, and that's where she lost her life. She stood at gunpoint confessing, yes, I believe there is God. Now, a book was written about this. She Said Yes is the title of it. And it's an example of those who stand up for the faith even though it's hard. The story also goes that maybe it wasn't Cassie, maybe it was another classmate named Schnurr. But either way, the question was asked in the midst of this emotional thing, and they said yes. Could you do that? Would you be willing to stand up for the faith if it costs you something? It's something I wrestle with, and I don't know the answer if I could. I often pray that the Holy Spirit would lead me, no matter what the cost, to confess Jesus, but I hope that he'd lead me. I don't know. What I do know is that I've missed moments. I don't know if you can relate to that. And there is one particular moment in my memory that's kind of seared, because I remember this one night praying to God that if I got on a game show, I was going to use the interview to confess my faith. So some of you have been around me enough to know that I was on The Price is Right. This was the winning bid, by the way. God's number is how I got up. And I did win a bedroom set that we still have, and I was able to spin the wheel. And I had my moment. The night before, I prayed to God. I said, if I get up, here's going to be my confession. I'm not going to thank mom or dad. I'm not going to say hi to my wife, even though she's awesome. I'm going to say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the victory he won for all people on Easter. That's what I'm going to say. There's the gospel, right? And yet, in that moment, they said, Dustin, we're not going to interview you. We're going to pan to the choir. And I'm like, it's not about me, right? But then the choir sings a song in German that does not confess Jesus at all. And so I remember waking up the next day feeling like, God, I did not stay true to my word. I had the moment and I missed it. So I guess I'll just have to spend the rest of my life confessing you. But what I know is that we should confess, but we miss these opportunities. We know we should confess based on the words of the lesson today. Look at the words of the lesson. Start off, it says, for with your heart you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess and are saved. Now, in the context, you might be wondering, does this mean if I confess, that's the reason for my salvation? We know in the context of Romans and the rest of the Bible, you are not saved by anything you do. You are saved by the merits of Jesus Christ and believing in him. But rather, this is the interpretation, our next fill-in. That we are not saved by our confession, because sometimes we might get it wrong, and sometimes we don't always, you know, seize those moments, but saved people naturally confess. We love to tell people the hope we have. But more about missing opportunities. Remember Peter's story? So Peter thought he'd stay strong like Cassie. Peter was in the upper room where Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times, and Peter says, no way. No, Jesus, see, about me, I would rather die with you than disown you. And yet it was hours later that three times, and for what? He wasn't at gunpoint. He was standing in front of a little girl. And to a little girl, he started to have to curse and swear to say and try to convince, "No, I don't know the man." Can you relate to missed opportunities? Perhaps for some of us, it's those who we know are in a tough way. It's a family member or a friend who you know they're in a tough season. We have yet to reach out to them and share the hope you have in Jesus. You have yet to offer a prayer for them. You let those moments pass by. For some of us, it's just the casual conversations, and you might have worshiped on the weekend, but when they ask about the weekend, you'll talk about the movie you saw and the game you watched, but you won't share that you went to church, and you won't share how much that meant to you. Or perhaps it's just sharing Jesus at all. Have you ever shared the gospel with someone? Have you invited someone to church? Here's a startling statistic by a church guru, Carrie Newhoff. Says that 82% of people would come to church if a friend invited them. Only 2% bother. How does that make you feel? To me, I consider the words of Jesus, and these words are pretty strong. He says, "If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." It is important that we tell other people the light that we have, the light that changes everything. And so today, if we've ever missed those opportunities, we repent. Maybe you can, along with me, repent for the times we've let them pass. And instead, consider what Jesus does with his words. Jesus is right now using his words to plead for you before the Father in heaven. He is the mediator between earth and heaven, and he loves to say your name. Jesus not only knows your name, but writes your name in the book of life, knows the details, and wants you to be with him for an eternity. And why? Because Jesus was willing to take the worst words the world had to offer. Jesus was mocked and ridiculed. "The son of Joseph? Can this really be the Messiah? He's a blasphemer." He's the one they yelled, "Crucify." And yet he took it. And he went to the cross and he gave his life so that he could win new words for us. So that I, on behalf of the God Almighty, could tell you, do you know what you are in God's eyes? Loved. Do you know what you are? Holy. Do you know what you are? His child. Redeemed. The righteous one. The universal priesthood. The chosen people. The special possession. That is what you are because of Jesus Christ, who loves to lavish beautiful words to you. To restore your spirit. To tell you that even if everyone leaves, he's always there and his mercy's not going away. That is our God. And so it's our responsibility not just to know what God says, but then to make him known. And if we make him known, what will people start hearing? What will we be about? Our next villain. If we share, those who confess Christ will have beautiful things to say. You have beautiful things to tell the world. Consider the next passage that tells us about Jesus Christ. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. It can also be translated, if you believe in him, you'll never be disappointed. Because he comes through. Now I wonder, is there anyone that's relying on someone else other than God to come through for them? Have you ever been in a situation where you had high hopes for a person who did not deliver? Now, Chicago sports fans know this all too well. We've had a string of quarterbacks, right? High hopes, the chosen one. And this year too, Ben Johnson, and they got some O-line. Maybe. But we're a little bit cynical. I'll believe it when I see it, right? But beyond the light things, what about the heavy things? What about when young people get married and they're so excited And they feel like, I have found my soulmate. I have found the one who makes me complete. And then they found, oh wait, I married a sinner. And the high expectations I had for them to fulfill my every emotional need, to say always the right thing, to always do the right thing. And I'm like, oh, that didn't happen. What about when this happens with family and friends? Do you know the best family and friends, even if they wanted to be perfect, can't do it? Some of the closest people next to you, they don't have malicious hearts. They just can't deliver on being perfect. And so if your hope is in them, how often do we get disappointed when they don't deliver because they can't deliver? And this idea of expecting so much from other things other than God, it's not new. It's something that's been going on for forever. Consider the psalm that says this: some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. So one option for life, you don't have to trust in chariots and horses. You could trust in anything other than God, and what's going to happen? You're going to be brought to your knees and fall. At one point or another, they will not be able to deliver in the way that God does. But if you put your hope in God, if you put your hope in His unfailing love, He can see you through. This was the story of Simeon. So Simeon was told by God that he would not die until he saw the Lord's anointed, until he saw the Messiah. And he waited and he waited until one day Mary and Joseph walked into the temple. And there was Jesus. And his reaction to this is what he said: Sovereign Lord, you, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And some of you too have experienced God coming through on his promises. Maybe not in your timeline and maybe not in your way, but he was faithful. That is the God we worship. And that's something that I hope our confirmands always have. So in a few moments, they're going to commit to following Jesus. And even more beautiful than their commitment to him is his commitment to them. Because if they follow God throughout their lives, what will they have? They will have someone who is always there when everyone else leaves or can't be there. In the trials and temptations of life, they will have someone with forgiveness and mercies that are new every morning to sustain their identity as a child of God. As they remain faithful to God and hear his word, they're going to have a light that illuminates their path so they know where not to go and they know where to go, all because they listen to God. That's what we want for them. That's what we want for ourselves. But as we confess this to the world, there is a responsibility. And it's a responsibility we should take seriously. It's our next fill-in. That if we confess Christ, we should speak according to God's word. We should not just share what we think. We should not just share what is popular. We should not just share what is culturally acceptable. We should make sure, if we're coming on behalf of God, that what we speak is God's word. Consider the next passage. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard. What is the message? The word of Christ. People do not come to faith because I had a good idea. People do not come to faith because the world has a popular opinion. People come to faith because God's word was shared faithfully, scripturally. But we live in an era where there are many messages that are not God's word. Now, sometimes in very light ways and even good ways. I love The Chosen and I love The House of David. But if you ever watch those shows, you know that you have to make this discernment. What has God said versus what is just made up here in the movie, right? That's also true when it comes to those who speak in the name of Jesus Christ. So there can be Christians who come in the name of Christ, but they don't speak according to God's word. And so what we want to do, what we want to have happening, is discernment. Do you know God challenges you to discern? God challenges you to go back to the Bible to know if it's God's word. And this actually became apparent to me this week. I was having a conversation with a young man who was going to a church, and it was a Christian church, but they did not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a pretty big teaching. The fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. And so this young man said, I can't abide by it, and good for him. But that is out there, isn't it? There are those who come in the name of Christ but do not speak according to the word of God. In which case, we must go back. We must study. We must be students of what God has said. Which leads us back to confirmation class. So it's been a joy to spend 2 years in God's word talking about it, hearing our students read about it, hearing them confess their faith. And what's really interesting, the culmination exercise, is they have this essay that I get to look at, and they did a beautiful job, by the way. And I rarely ever need to correct the theology. Now, there's sometimes I need to clean up the grammar a little bit, or at least help it along in their own words. But rarely ever the theology. Why is that? Because they've been taught. Do you sit under the teaching of good theology? I hope you do. I hope that you're always learning. I hope that you're always accountable to good teaching in God's word and go back to the word to investigate whatever I heard, whoever was preaching. Is this what God has said? Because yes, it's our responsibility to confess, but we need to do it according to God's word. Consider what 1 Timothy says. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So again, if we watch doctrine closely, it's a benefit to all who listen. But there's a final thought before our confirmands go. And the final fill-in is this, that those who confess Christ are beautiful. It's praiseworthy. It's good. In fact, consider the progression of thought in our verses. It says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You're going to see some beautiful feet soon. And please do me well. I told the confirmands they cannot lose. Because I told them that we have people just who love you and love Jesus. And so as they share their faith, we rally around it. And what I know I experience every time that you're going to experience is, man, it's good. It's good to hear from many voices the same Jesus. We, as followers of God, are inspired whenever God's truth is shared. But you don't just have to be a confirmand to share this faith. You don't just have to be a pastor. Today, you have enough to share with the world the good news of Jesus Christ. You and I can go out today and tell them there is one who will never be you'll never be disappointed by. There is one who is the Savior of our souls. This is Jesus Christ. And so let's make it common. If it's common to recommend lighter things like a favorite restaurant, a movie, or a sports team, let's make it common that we talk about Jesus. That we talk about our church home, that we pray for others, and that God's light shines through us. Let's pray about it. So, Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you that someone shared your word with us so that we have come to know and believe that Jesus is your Son, our Savior. Thank you for the opportunities we have each day to speak your word and be a light for you. Help us to speak your word faithfully, and boldly reach out to those trapped in darkness with your wonderful light. Lord, we also pray for our confirmands that they don't just confess today, but throughout their lives, the hope they have in you. Lord, we also pray for the sick and the hurting. Lord, thank you that you have guided Del Pratt, but continue to guide him on a path of recovery, along with Susan Munt. Lord, also be with the Estacio family. You called Mr. Estacio to your side in heaven. Thank you for the faith that you gave him. But now comfort the hearts that miss him. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name, but now we join together in the prayer you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.